Welcome to Chamber Talk. My name is Andrew Gregson, and today's special guest is Lauren Sweeney from Rise Up For You. She's the Vice President of Business Development, and she's also this year's Chair-Elect. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you on. You're actually our first board member that we're going to interview on our podcast.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's exciting, and it's in our new location.
Yeah, I love the new space. It's fantastic right here in Buena Park. Such a big, great space. So glad to be here.
Excellent. So what I wanted to start off with, I mean, you know, you've done a lot of things in your life. Why don't you share a little bit of the background before we get into things that you do today and how you help other people?
Absolutely. Well, I think actually starting in high school, I was always interested in leadership development. In fact, I did a lot of volunteering and was involved in student government. And I always just had an interest in kind of growth and development. In fact, I met my husband over 20 years ago. We just celebrated 19 years. This week was our anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we even met at a personal development seminar. And I always had kind of an interest in human evolution, growth and development. I went to college at UC Davis and I majored in community and regional development. So how do people come together? Kind of applied behavioral sciences. And I always thought I would go into human resources. In fact, I worked for Nugget Markets. Mm-hmm. I went to UC Davis, and so they're a little family-owned market up there. Fantastic. I worked for them. And then I ended up working for Walgreens. And ideally, I thought I would go into human resources. And you know how our path goes. Mm-hmm. You kind of zig left, zig right, mm-hmm. and sometimes you end up who knows where.
Right.
And when I worked for Walgreens, I became a store manager for them. It gave me a lot of experience into people because
mm-hmm. Working with a lot of people.
Working with a lot of people. And, you know, in the chamber world, really, we talk to business owners every day. Mm-hmm. We talk to entrepreneurs. It's the people that either is really your asset or is the thing that keeps you up at night.
Right.
Even
right.
You and I talk about that
well. Yes.
And working at Walgreens, I learned a lot about people.
Right.
I learned a lot about the corporate world and pharmacy management mm-hmm. and things I knew nothing about beforehand. And then I ended up owning my own business. So I worked for myself for years, about 18 years.
So just to break in there,
yeah.
What made you spin into that? How did you go from running Walgreens,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And then moving into owning your own business. What made you do that spring? It's a big jump.
You know, I liked my boss. I liked our regional manager a lot when I was working in corporate America. But I remember I was in my 20s mm-hmm, and I'm mm-hmm. the store manager. Mm-hmm. And most of the people I'm working, I'm supervising.
Double your age.
Yes, double my age. And also most of my peers, you know, most of the other managers were also double my age. And I remember thinking, I don't know if I could do this another 20, 30, 40 years. The hustle, the grind, yeah. It's really nothing against.
Retail's hard.
It's hard.
Yes, it is.
You know, no matter if you're in charge, mm-hmm. you are still taking out the trash. Mm-hmm. You are still, you
making
know,
the coffee, ordering the bulbs, all sorts
yes,
of stuff, right, right.
You know, whatever's needed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're still, a lot of the stores I managed were open 24 hours. And sometimes, of course, things would happen late at night that wasn't great. And at the end of the day, you know, you're still working holidays. Mm-hmm. That's just the nature. That's retail.
Yeah.
That's how it is. And at that time, I was married, didn't have any kids yet. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what am I going to do when I have a family? Am I going to have to work Thanksgivings? And
right.
It's, again, it's nothing against, you know, Walgreens in
right,
particular.
Right,
it's just
right.
retail.
It is
retail.
It's retail's tough. That's why I got out of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I thought, there's got to be something else. And so I met a woman that was owning her own business in the cosmetics world, direct sales.
All right.
And I was intrigued. I thought, oh, maybe. What if? Right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people listening, if you're an entrepreneur, you work for a city, if you're, you know, a Fortune 500 CEO, and you think, what if?
Mm-hmm.
And most of us just continue on our path and we don't really do anything to change its course. But I thought, you know what? I am going to build a business on the side. I'm going to work full time. I'm going to build my business at night and weekends mm-hmm. and just see what if I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was circling around nervously,
right.
waiting to call my boss to tell him I was going to take a leave of absence.
Right.
And I thought, I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to, because at this time we're trying to buy a house, and you know how it is when you're an entrepreneur. Yep. It's not so easy on your do all those things.
Yeah.
So I thought I'll take a leave so that if it, my business doesn't work out, I have a job to fall back on.
So you were sort of, that's a big gamble because you're only to take a leave for a certain amount of time.
Yes.
So that's a lot to fit in a small space, isn't it?
And my boss at the time, incredible individual, and he said, okay, I'll take an unpaid leave, you know, for 3 months and really give my business a go, see if I can make it happen.
Wow.
And at the time, my husband was getting his PhD in mathematics.
Mm.
And so really, I had to make this successful.
Right. You were the main earner at the time.
Yes.
Right.
And so I did. And I never went back.
Wow.
I never went back to corporate America. I pursued my own business and ended up having about 200 different team members that I was in charge of coaching and training them, all women.
Mm-hmm.
We were selling cosmetics and helped them be successful. And I really enjoyed it. It gave me a lot. I learned a lot about leadership until I didn't enjoy it anymore.
Right.
And you know, being an entrepreneur, I know you worked a long time in marketing and it's interesting. I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs today involved in the chamber and involved in the work I do now at Rise Up For You. You think you quit your 9-to-5 to work 24/7 for your
yourself. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Now, just staying on that point a little bit, just going a little bit back, because there will be some people out there that are listening to this and they might be in the same spot where they want to make their own business. And I remember myself, it's a fear into the unknown, isn't it? And you did it a very smart way. I wasn't as smart as you. I didn't think of doing a leave of absence, but I don't think they do that in the UK. Leave of absence would have been, you lose your job. Sure. So, but that gap, you want to share a little bit about some of the things that you mentally and physically went through, because people think, like today on the internet, TikTok, just start a business, do this. It's not that easy, is it? You want to share a little bit about your experiences there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, today at Rise Up For You, I coach a lot of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And then in the chamber, you know, we see a lot of people that are wanting to start their own business. I really disciplined myself before I took the leave from my corporate job to, on my lunch breaks, I was, you know, making phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to really implement good practices so that when I left corporate America, I was still focused.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times as entrepreneurs, because the great thing is it's our business, and the bad thing is it's our business.
Yeah.
In the end, it all relies on us.
Yeah, discipline for 100%.
Discipline, but also our confidence, feeling like an imposter, feeling like we don't know what we're doing. And I really tried to focus on the things that would really drive income.
Right.
What would really, and the business I was in, it had a lot of structure. Mm-hmm. It had a lot of basically do this and you'll achieve this, do this. So it had a roadmap, which I think was helpful. I think as entrepreneurs, we get siloed and we end up, because it makes us nervous to do a podcast, to speak on a stage, to do the things that will really move the needle, we end up spending all week creating the perfect newsletter.
That's, you're right. We go down these rabbit holes. So how do you stop yourself? Because I have to stop myself too often. How do you physically stop yourself? What advice would you give about that, going down a rabbit hole?
You know, I had a lot of great mentors when I was building my business. And one of the things one of them told me was you need to make a list at night before you go to bed. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of research on this as well, neuroscience. Mm-hmm. You make your list, 6 most important things before you go to bed, and you write them down. And then at night, your subconscious goes to think on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with an individual that a coaching client of mine now, and I told her this, and she said, well, Lauren, I do it in the morning, because in the morning, I'm ready to go, I'm focused. And I explained to her, her name's Adriana, I said, if you do it at night, you're more courageous. Because if you do it after you've shut your business down, which, let's be real, most entrepreneurs never shut their business down. But let's say at 10 o'clock, you decide I'm not going to work anymore, right? Your brain's more courageous because it knows I'm not actually going to call Billy, this main hopeful prospect, right now at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
So let me put his name down on my piece of paper. So then the next morning, and the thing I'll say too, as an entrepreneur, you want to be very, very specific with your list.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just say, get a new client.
No.
Where? It's vague.
Who are you going to?
I'm going to Starbucks,
who are you gonna call?
And I think I'm going to do nothing.
Yeah.
It needs to be specific. call Joan, here's Joan's phone number.
Yeah.
Send an email to Paula, and here's Paula's email. Very specific, so that in the morning you can do that. And the other thing I find with entrepreneurs is we end up being reactive. It's more comfortable.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I'm productive. Right. I feel busy. Mm-hmm. Let me just take all those calls for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, no, let me do my output first.
Right.
Let me be intentional. And then I can move on. Then yes. I can take the incoming calls, check the email, all of those things that make me feel busy. But at the end of the day, it's not moving the needle.
No, not at all. It's a big thing that I've used this quite often, and it's hard to understand it, but you got to sit back and think about it. It's always plan to succeed, don't fail to plan, which is what you're talking about, is you have to have all your little ducks in a row and then filter them off and just check them off and you've done it and move to the next and not keep going back to that area. So then you were mentioning earlier, so you finished that, you went into your busy start doing, and then you said that, well, I'm getting a bit bored now. So talk us through that. What happened then?
Yeah, I was very successful with my business in the particular line of work I was in. Even though I worked for myself, it was still in the direct sales field, so we could earn prizes. I earned many company cars. I earned trips. My husband and I got to go on a paid cruise. I became successful. I felt good about it. And in that journey, we had two children who are now 8 and 10 years old.
Wow.
And it was great. It was very flexible. I really enjoyed it. And the challenge came, I wouldn't say that I got bored, I got hooked.
Okay.
I got addicted to the hustle.
Okay.
And this is such a, you know, popular thing in our culture, which does us mostly, I think, a disservice. It's this idea, and I think that, you know, TikTok and Instagram and all those things have made it worse in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Show up again, mm-hmm. show up every day. Mm-hmm. Did you post 12 times a day?
Right.
And it becomes this sense of, I'm getting my sense of who I am. I'm getting my kudos. Everybody's like, oh, Lauren, you look so, you know, you're doing so great.
Sure.
It looks amazing on the outside. Mm-hmm. But in the inside, I ended up feeling like I could never put it down.
Mm. Consumed you totally.
It consumed me totally. Right. Even though I'm married, I have kids.
Right.
And I'm kind of a type A personality, I would say. Yeah. Power and achievements, kind of one of my basic needs. And if you follow top 5 strengths, one of my top strengths is activator.
Sure.
So for me, I don't have a problem getting in action.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening, I don't want you to put yourself down and think that, oh, you're bad because you procrastinate. Or no, everybody has their own thing that makes them tick.
Yes.
And for me, I would be watching TV with my husband and feeling like I need to make the meal plan for the week and also check my Instagram and also do an email. Like, right. I just couldn't feel like I could really relax.
Sure.
And it became a problem because my family wanted me to be home.
Of course.
And I wanted to be with them, but yet I had this drive and I felt like I couldn't, it was never enough. No matter how much success I achieved, it was never enough.
Right.
And I think that's a great question to ask yourself, especially if you're an entrepreneur or if you're an executive. When is it enough?
Mm-hmm.
I asked this of a person, one of our clients yesterday, and she said, that's a great question. Because a lot of people come to me and they say, in my current position, which I know we'll get into that later, they'll say, well, I think I want another degree.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I need this level of success. Then mm-hmm. I'll finally be able to relax.
Right. But then there's something else.
There's always something else.
So if I was to ask you that question, what would your answer be?
You know, for me, where I'm at right now in my life, a sense of fulfillment, a sense of peace. I'm not looking for, do I want to make money? Of course.
We have to pay bills, right? Yeah, go on vacation, pay for your car, whatever, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
And instead of it being about, I need another accolade, don't get me wrong, I love them.
Sure.
But I try to not have it be who I am as a person.
Right.
A sense of fulfillment.
Okay.
A sense of exhaling.
Okay.
A sense of peace.
Right. And do you feel that, because this is part of your job going into Rise Up for you, yes, you get paid to do a job, but the effect that you can have on the people who attend these classes and things like that is that part of that fulfillment that you feel is filling your heart and filling your soul, so to say?
Absolutely. You know, when I see people, now I work with companies, I work with executives, I work with entrepreneurs, both human beings, and help them on leadership and confidence. When I see something I've said that's made an impact, or I see someone who comes into a training with their arms crossed, and maybe perhaps they think, I can't change. Mm-hmm. Maybe they even verbalize that to me. What's the point?
Right.
And then maybe a few trainings go by, and you start to see that glimmer in their eye come back. Mm-hmm. You start to see that they have more of a sense of peace. You start to see that perhaps they're more fulfilled. It's great.
That's awesome. That is good. And that's really exactly why probably you're great at being on the chamber board, because that's really what we do at the end of the day. Our main thing is to support people and help them grow, and all these different events. So you always learn something from it, and we'll talk about She later, but you know, you always grow something from it. And it's a fulfillment that, yes, you can't buy that. You can't pay for that. So I totally understand that. So let's talk a little bit about Rise Up For You. So went from your own company. How did you jump into Rise Up For You? Because that's on the same path, sort of, but it is a zigzag. What went on there?
Yeah, absolutely. It was the chamber, actually. So our CEO, Netta Nasruddin, I met her at a chamber event. She was a speaker. She was a speaker at a luncheon. And for years, I was running a Leeds lunch. And I was the facilitator as a volunteer, right, as a chamber ambassador. And I really enjoyed it. And I remember she walked in. She was wearing this bright yellow jacket. And if you've met our CEO, you know she's always wearing a bright colored something or other to stand out. Mm-hmm. And she was there with her team. And after the presentation, I walked up to her. I just had this intuition. And I think it's important for those listening. There's a whisper or an intuition and that you hear often, especially in relation to what you want to do professionally or personally. Do you take it? You know, even in romance, perhaps, you have this whisper like, oh, I should talk to him or her. Mm-hmm. Do you? Mm-hmm. So I had this intuition that I should go talk to her. So I walk up to her at the end of the event. It was very powerful. She gave a whole great presentation. And I give her my card and I say, I'd like to work for you. I'm a great coach. I'm amazing around leadership. I'd like to work for you. And she was a little, you know, taken aback.
Right.
And she says, okay, send me an email and, you know, we'll set up a conversation. So I was persistent and I, you know, contacted her employee, Kathy, and I, you know, pursued getting a meeting with her. Mm-hmm. And this was February 2020. Mm-hmm. So I got a meeting with her, a phone interview. And then she said, all right, we'll come to our office in Irvine and we'll have a meeting in person. And that by then it was beginning of March 2020.
Right.
And I remember the day I walked into the office, the whole team was there for my in-person interview.
Oh, wow.
And they looked very down and depressed, which was strange for Rise Up For You. I thought, what's going on? Right. Have I said something? I haven't even been in the interview yet. And it was the day that they had found out that the huge Google conference that they were hired for was canceled because of COVID.
That would have been a downer.
Right. And so that was a big blow because they were very excited about it. It was a big deal that they had gotten this contract with Google. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, I did get hired though.
Good. And congratulations there.
Thank you. So by April, I was a team member. Mm-hmm. I was still owning my own business. Mm-hmm. And of course, by now we're working from home. Mm-hmm. And so I would do Rise Up For You part-time. I was still part-time with them. Few hours. I was training all online, of course.
Few hours, but really doing 80 or 90 in a day type of thing, right?
Yes,
right.
Okay. Doing my business. And my business, because we were doing cosmetic sales, I was used to doing that all in person. 0% online.
Wow.
So overnight I pivoted. Of course, my kids were, you know, on Zoom school and that was a train wreck, of course, like most parents. But now I actually had more time because my business was all at home.
Yeah, less travel.
Less travel.
Right.
During the day, everybody else was free during the day too. Mm-hmm. And I could do Rise Up For You. It didn't feel that overwhelming.
Oh, right.
It was exciting to do something different. Mm-hmm. My husband was hopeful that maybe, you know, I could do something and work for someone else and maybe get out of the hustle culture that I had been addicted to.
Right.
And so that's what I did. And by that June, she asked if I would do some sales for her, not just coach and train, but would I do sales too? And I thought, well, I guess I've been doing that for a long time. All right, I guess I could try. And I ended up right out of the gate hitting her quota and surpassing anything her other team members had ever done a couple months. And I did that for 6 months. I did both. So actually, I did the same strategy that I did when I was getting out of corporate America. Getting back into corporate America, I did the same strategy.
Yeah.
6 months of doing both. Mm-hmm. She knew about my, you know, my
business.
Own business.
Right,
and it wasn't a conflict of interest because Rise Up For You had nothing to do with cosmetic sales at all. And really, they were aligned.
Of course, because training, coaching,
leadership
course.
Development.
Right,
working with human beings. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And mm-hmm. we developed programs, a lot of them free for the community during COVID to help mm-hmm. people that were in transitions, that were losing jobs, that were losing a lot of their sense of self and a sense of confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that process, I think I transformed. You know, I was able to work with Netta, mm-hmm. get coaching from her and her mm-hmm. team to heal my own sense of needing to, that it's never enough. It's never enough.
Right.
And that was amazing. I had never worked with somebody who had amazing boundaries.
Mm.
I remember I would text her and call her because I'm very communicative.
Of course.
And I remember it was like 7 o'clock at night. It wasn't even very late. And she said, no, we don't work after 5. She loves hot yoga mm-hmm. and Nespresso coffee. And she said, no.
It's my time now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's my time now.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just mind-blowing. A lot of entrepreneurs come to me and they say, how do you set such boundaries? And I said, honestly, you've got to get people around you that are also setting such work-life boundaries. And she was very successful. At this time, she had 2 TEDx talks and mm-hmm. she was launching her company book,
mm-hmm.
went on to be an Amazon bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a small business. I mean, this point, only 5 years in the making,
mm-hmm.
no, you know, venture capitalist funding,
mm-hmm.
no paid ads. And I remember thinking, this is amazing. I don't know how to not work on nights and weekends. That's what I was used to.
Well, me time is really vital for you to charge your batteries anyway, whether it's giving it back to your family or just for yourself as well. It is. You're right. It's hard to do that. It's really hard to do that.
It's hard and it's not really common in our society, in the US, in the UK, in Canada. I talk to leaders all around the world. In some countries like the Scandinavian region, it's very common.
Yeah.
Right? There's a slower pace. Mm-hmm. You get paid paternity leave mm-hmm. for 9 months.
Well, life's
months.
Differently, isn't it? Life is different. Their life structure or infrastructure is different.
It's different, and we're very blessed. I was born in California. I have a lot of privileges, of course, being here in the United States. And I think we do ourselves a disservice because it's almost bragging rights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you pull an all-nighter to work all day? Oh, did you work 7 days too?
Mm-hmm.
And we do ourselves a disservice because mm-hmm. we're all walking around living on coffee,
right?
Not taking care of our health.
Yeah.
And
it catches up to you in the end. 100%. Yeah, it really does. It really does. So I know you've got multiple programs that you offer. You want to talk through a few of them that you offer at Rise Up For You?
Absolutely. So now I'm privileged to be the vice president at Rise Up For You. And we have programs for individuals and then also for organizations.
Mm.
So I think we're unique as an organization that we have 2 avatars.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of organizations really service either the individual really well or maybe just company culture, et cetera.
Sure.
So on the individual side, we support leadership development. So an executive that wants to grow in their leadership and they maybe do one-on-one coaching or they maybe do our online programming. We have an entire portal that we're very proud of that we built from scratch.
All right.
And it has all of our learning management in it, our courses they can take, and also assessments.
Hmm.
I think that's very unique.
That is good.
And a company can take these assessments, so mm-hmm. we can really see the ROI on the growth.
Mm-hmm.
Or an individual can take it.
Mm-hmm.
So an individual doing, let's say, coaching with myself or one of our team members, let's say they do a 6 months program with us, meet twice a month. We do an emotional intelligence assessment, confidence, and a success assessment at the beginning and at the end of the program.
Okay.
So then you can really see the data on the growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something unique because we do soft skills. That's mm-hmm. what we do at our company.
Mm-hmm.
Confidence, leadership, emotional intelligence. We don't do any hard skills, as you call it, like payroll, for example, or any of that. And when you see how much you've grown mm-hmm. on paper, on mm-hmm. a portal, it really tangibilizes the effort that an individual has put into their learning and development. And it shows that our programming worked. Mm-hmm. On the company side, we work with nonprofits, a lot of nonprofits local to Orange County. Mm-hmm. And our CEO is in Vegas, and we have team members in Canada, all over. We work with cities. We work with school districts. We work with for-profit companies. In fact, we're working with an energy company right now, IT company, a finance company. At the end of the day, companies with people.
Sure, exactly. So for those who aren't quite sure about soft skills or even how important they are in the workplace, you want to share a little bit, elaborate a little bit about how important it is and why?
Absolutely. Harvard Business Study, they did a review, and they came up with that when companies invest in their people in soft skills development, emotional intelligence, communication, confidence, that they got a 6-time ROI on their investment.
Oh, that's a lot.
Because of employee engagement. Mm-hmm. As you know, as a business owner, if you have a lot of turnover, that costs the business a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Also, productivity increased. People's loyalty to the company increased, their satisfaction at work increased, and their ability to resolve conflicts with key stakeholders and each other internally. Overall, the company functioned better.
Right.
And if you think about it, when I ask executives to tell me what is the main thing that stresses them out at night when mm-hmm. they're laying awake, you know, of course, they want more profits and employee dissatisfaction, turnover, strife, people not knowing how to interact with each other. All of that is really related to emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. So if you're not familiar, emotional intelligence is your self-awareness. That has to do with, you know, I'm aware that the driver cutting me off really bothered me. I'm aware that, you know, my wife really annoyed me, for example, right? Then there's self-management. How do I manage intrinsic motivation, getting up to go to the gym? How do I manage the trigger when an employee
Does something. Right. Wears wrong aftershave perfume, whatever, right?
Yes. Says the wrong thing. Eats. Sends me an email. Makes a, you know, loud noise with their gum. Whatever,
right.
So how do I manage that trigger, especially professionally, mm-hmm. when I can't just, you know, go off the handle, so mm-hmm. to speak? Then there's social awareness. How do I have empathy for others? Mm-hmm. And I think it's important. I was talking to my husband about this yesterday. It's important to realize that it's a wheel. Even though I teach these skills every week, I'm always growing and learning in them.
Well, yeah, you're using them.
I'm using them. You have never arrived.
Right.
And also to recognize as individuals, as entrepreneurs or as leaders, that there's only so much capacity that we have. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can say, thank you so much for thinking of me. I'm at capacity right now. Because you know something's going on at home. Mm-hmm. You're having a hard time with your significant other or a child or caretaking for parents, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. Mm-hmm. And you need that space to really work on your self-awareness and self-management. Mm-hmm. Then you can circle around and have more space for others, which mm-hmm. is pillar 3 and pillar 4 in emotional intelligence. So I think that's key for us to be aware. Oftentimes I'll hear leaders say, yeah, that's great. Just can you fix my employees?
Right.
It's not me. I'm not the problem.
Well, 9 times out of 10, it comes from the top. It comes from the top and rolls all the way down, doesn't it? Yep.
And I think you probably feel this often. It can be lonely at the top, you know, whether you're a solopreneur mm-hmm. or you have a team of 500. Mm-hmm. How you manage yourself and then those in your organization, I think it's very, very helpful to get counsel. You know,
100%.
Netta and myself have outside coaches
yeah.
that support us so that we can expand our capacity.
Having somebody else to talk to is a huge help because you're totally right. It's not that you've put yourself on an island. It's that some things you can't just share with everyone because it's going to really have an impact on your production, or it's going to have an impact on what's going on and around you. And so, yeah, you start to draw back even more. And you're right, by having somebody who you can actually relate to and just talk to, who's actually not within that realm, is actually very helpful. Even just sometimes just to listen, or even just to spitball some ideas, is extremely helpful, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
You're totally right. Support, isn't it? That's what it is.
Support.
Yeah.
You know, I also hear from a lot of executives or superintendents of a school district, city managers.
Yeah.
They also want support. They don't have enough time in the day to train their leadership team to and to create an intentional, even if they have an HR director.
Other things happen.
Other things happen.
Yeah.
Even if they have a people and culture manager, who is then training that people and culture manager to create sustainability? So when we go in and we work with a larger organization, we do everything from a whole team training, let's say once a month, maybe 90 minutes on-site or virtual. And then they also have access to our online portal, to our assessments, to our online live programming, maybe some coaching in there. So it's like a whole robust outsourced people and culture management system where that saves them a ton of money, because they're not hiring me now as an employee. They don't have to pay benefits. They don't have to any of that. We come in as an expert and take that off their plate, and then they're able to really increase productivity, decrease employee turnover, increase employee satisfaction.
And what's your favorite part? If you were to pick a program or some part, what's your favorite?
One of my favorite things is doing like an executive retreat, a board retreat for an organization or an executive company retreat, where you get half a day, a couple days. Usually the company will do like a remote location. For example, we have a Canadian company, we're doing that. San Francisco company where we went offsite. We come in and we help them build a culture map. We help them really outline, what are your mission? What are your values? And maybe they have them outlined already. But then what do they look like in activation to that executive team? And of course, there's always turnover and there's change. What do they look like now? And then how do you actually hire based on that intentionally and put that in the job description? This is our values and mission. Are you a good fit? And then how do you onboard with intentionality? How do you do performance reviews, not just once a year, not just an exit interview, but stay interviews throughout the year? And how do you create corporate social responsibility? How do you create committees where employees can feel engaged? I think today more than ever, we have a lot of generational differences in the workforce. We have a lot more generations. People are working in later into life.
They are.
And the younger generation really has a lot of demands.
Yeah.
So what we have seen is, more than anything, of course, people love a pay raise. That's not always applicable in every organization. But they also want to be able to lead a committee. They would love to be able to give their input. And so how can you intentionally involve your entire organization? People support what they themselves create, a mentor told me. So how can you do that? So I think that's an incredible opportunity to work with an organization. And I would say my second favorite programming is confidence building. Whether an individual is doing coaching with us, whether I get to do a keynote speech like we're going to work with at our conference here at our chamber. It is really powerful, I feel like, the curriculum that our CEO built that now I get to teach, because it changed my life. That was how I was able to transform and realize who I am is not my job. It's not my titles. Who I am is really, we call them your macro confidences. It's your superpowers. It's the things that you had, Andrew, 10 years ago. It's the things that made you successful 20 years ago. And those, no matter what your journey is in the next 10, 20 years, you'll always have those. No one can take those away from you.
And how long does an individual, is it very different that they, you know, like you say, they start, you move forward. When do you generally start to see a difference, and how long does somebody generally have to be coached, so to speak?
It's a great question. I think a lot of our clients see transformation in just the first session or two. It depends on their level of openness. And
it's like going to a counselor.
Whether
you share the story or not,
Depends on the coach's level of intuition, for sure. I think that it's small incremental changes. Some of our clients, they have an aha right away. Some, they really don't see their growth until maybe it's been 4 months, 6 months, but you can see it. You know, it's hard to see the label when you're in the jar. It depends too what I think they're looking for. I find that it's like building a muscle. You know, imagine you went to the gym every day for a year and you only lifted weights on the right arm. The left arm would be like, oh, please cover that side up. But we have to work on our mindset. We call it monkey chatter. And that takes time. Just like we taught our mind to say negative things to us, to have negative self-talk about we're not good enough, we're not smart enough. Subconsciously, we didn't realize we built that muscle. Mm. It also takes time to rebuild the muscle intentionally.
Right.
Sometimes, though, it's a week. Sometimes it's 3 months. Sometimes it's that repetition, you right time, right place.
Right. That's good. And is there a common denominator about people with confidence, let's say, or public speaking that generally people either lapse to or chase to because it's more of a comfort zone? Or, you know, in your experience, what have you seen?
I've seen from our data, from our research, that everyone from college freshmen to working professionals today, whether they're an executive in a company or a solopreneur, 83% is the statistic that we keep coming to, lack confidence.
Really?
83%.
But I mean, I'm assuming though the confidence is different levels. So in front of an audience can be scary, maybe not in a room.
Okay. 99% of people want to pee their pants instead of going on stage.
Really?
Okay. You're very good on a mic. You're very good on a stage. I also really love going on a stage and speaking and contributing. I'm very extroverted that way and how I get my energy. Most people are terrified. They'd rather bungee jump, kill a tarantula. I mean, this is according to the research. I'm talking about everyday confidence, sure, to go on a stage, absolutely. But also to sit in a boardroom and not raise your hand because you feel like you don't belong.
Okay.
I'm talking about the confidence to go up and give someone your card and say, pick me.
Right. Okay.
Confidence to set a boundary, to say no, because we're a people pleaser. I'm recovering. And we don't want to disappoint people.
Right.
Everyday confidence. Absolutely, it's tied into public speaking and all of that as well. But everyday confidence to feel that you do deserve that seat at the table. And now that you have that seat, what are you going to do with it? And why not you?
I feel that often it's to do with you know, you were talking about positivity and negativity. And we as humans are very open to the negative, and it's very hard to focus on the positive. And I think a lot of the strengths that one often finds with being more confident is to do with you have to really focus on the positives, that the impacts you've made, or like you said, how you got there, why you're there, that you do deserve it. Because it's so easy to flush it out with the negative and then draw back, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's human nature in some ways.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it takes a lot of vigilance and support, accountability, whether if you have a coach, you have positive people around you. We call it the fuzzy four. It's the four main areas that can help you feel more drained, unable to focus. And of course, we don't want any of that, right?
No.
But the people around you, so whether they're giving you energy or taking energy away from you, food and drinks. And I don't mean, you know, eat so you can lay on the beach in a bikini. I mean, am I eating and drinking things that bless my body? Am I eating and drinking things that give me energy? There's reality, right? If I eat, you know, nachos and soda every day, I'm just not going to have that kind of energy and mental clarity.
Right.
Then there's social media. You know, am I curating a feed that gives me energy? Or is every time I look at my Instagram or my LinkedIn, I'm triggered?
Sure.
I'm annoyed. It drains me. And then the last one is watching and hearing. So it's what am I watching in the news, podcasts? Again, is it very negative? Is it draining me? I think we have to be intentional to stay on that positive side.
I think the other thing is what we haven't mentioned, because it's always about business, isn't it? Is that growth. Imagine what it does for your home life.
It's huge, isn't it?
It changes everything. You know, if you've got kids, you're going to sort of like share that without really knowing. It's like that wheel. Without even really knowing, you're more positive. You're looking at things differently. Your kids are going to be able to feed that from you, or your spouse, or what have you. So I think it's a very good all-rounder. But we, again, often focus on certain things. But really, it's for our life. It's not just for your job, isn't it?
Absolutely. We talk about the whole person all the time. And that the person is the professional, and the professional is also the person.
That makes sense.
And if we silo our job, our work, whatever we do professionally from the rest of our lives, it doesn't end up, I think, leading to lots of happiness and fulfillment.
Go on.
Integration, I would say, is really the key.
So, Lauren, we've talked a lot about business and the help and Rise Up For You and all those types of things. You know, you came on the Chamber board last year, wasn't it? Was it your first? This is the second year right now. And then, of course, now you're on the Executive Committee because you're the chair-elect. And I know you've been involved with many other chambers. I don't mind naming them, Irvine, I know, and Whittier. So what makes an individual make that other leap? Because when you were talking about time, you do have to give up some time when you're on these committees and boards. What makes you want to go that way and also give back?
Absolutely. As I mentioned, I met, you know, our CEO at Rise Up For You at a chamber event. Mm-hmm. And the thing I love about our chamber with North Orange County is that it really does bring people together from the four cities. And it's a really amazing opportunity. You've done such a great job of curating relationships with our local city officials and getting to be in a room full of people that are entrepreneurs, but also executives. And then also maybe they are a superintendent for a school district. Mm-hmm. Depending upon who you are, it's difficult to get in a room often or get a meeting.
Of course.